Welcome, welcome, welcome to Ruminations Tuesday on this February the 5th in the year of our Lord 2013. And with us is our good friend, Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. What's the matter with your voice?
No, not a thing.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Just, you know, I mean, it's a great day, isn't it?
A great day because it's sunny out. This is good weather for winter.
Beautiful weather.
Oh, boy.
Kidding.
Yeah. I always decide whether it's good weather, whether or not I have to turn the furnace on. And we haven't had it on for a while. Yep. I tell you, that saves some money. And that's what has to be done sometimes. Because, boy, I got up early today.
Things pretty tight, huh?
Oh, I got up so early today. I was up at like 8:30. Because, what? They were doing trees right behind our house.
Oh, yeah, huh?
They've got...
that limb chopper, huh?
Right. The Marinui is taking all trees down on wires.
Sure.
And I tell you, that they've been around our corner for 4 days.
Yeah.
Across
the
street.
Get them to trim your limbs if you can. You know, if you got
any
limbs.
Well, they are.
Good.
Yeah. Well, they have to
save you from trimming them.
No, they have to be in line where they could cause damage to the electric wires.
Right.
Yeah. You know, excuse me, that was a mistake they really made. In not putting things underground, wires.
Well, have you ever noticed, really, when you look at them, I mean, mm-hmm. we're so used to seeing them, but have you ever noticed really how ugly they are? You know, how ugly, I know you need them, you got to have them, but think of how...
What, the wires?
Think of how better the landscape, the horizon would look without these big telephone poles sticking out of it.
Yeah,
there.
I was...
You ever thought about that?
I was taking a picture of a house I was selling, and there was big wires in front.
Yeah.
And you can kind of get rid of them now with the new finagles that they have with Photoshop.
But what are you
going to
do? You got to have telephone lines and all that stuff. I mean, you at least have to have power lines.
Well, I recently bought a kit with a guy who showed by going to like Home Depot and stuff that you can make your own solar panels and save about 75% of your electricity. Yeah, if you're in a sunny area. And they weren't that many. Just a few in the backyard.
Okay, Tom.
So Louise is working on
that. Louise is working. Yeah, I got it.
And right now we're using the Marinui. All right. Rumination Tuesday is a day when you can eavesdrop on two pastors. And what do you mean eavesdrop? I tell you, it's really interesting. You've gone out with pastors to lunch or something, and the conversations you have can be very interesting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to keep your voice down, you know, because other people are listening and such. It's been more than one restaurant I've been at talking with others, and a little boy comes up and said, "Are you Pastor Tom from KFUO?" They recognize my voice. And
no kidding.
Oh, my. This has happened many a time. Grocery stores, restaurants, and so when I go out with Louise and we're buying groceries, I'll say, "Should we get this or should we?" You know, I use a different voice, so I don't get it. Okay. What we're going to be talking about today are some items that were sent our way by our listeners. One of the most important ones is, how many tracts do you see, Pastor Smith, where the four spiritual laws are found as a way of becoming a Christian?
Oh, I used to see these all the time. I haven't seen them for a while, but I know they used to be all over the place. Four spiritual laws.
Yes, yes.
Very popular.
We need to look at them. In fact, he and I, we have this in our hand from a tract that was sent to us. It says, "Nobody else can save you. Trust Jesus today." Now, I find that really interesting. Nobody else can save you, so save yourself. Is that what it's saying?
I guess. I mean, in other words, you have to make the decision.
That's right.
You have to make the move.
Now, here's the four parts. Number one, I'll read number one, then you read number two. Admit you're a sinner. Number two?
Be willing to turn from sin, that is, and they have repent in parentheses.
Three, believe that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose from the dead. And four?
Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior.
Which one makes no sense at all? If you're taking a look there.
Well, of course, you know,
Why is there
through prayer invite Jesus? Jesus is already in your life. If you're praying, you can't pray without saving faith. If
more than that, you can't do three.
Right. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have the words "for you" in there, which changes it from a historical event to a gospel promise. In other words, if somebody comes to you and says, "I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, rose from the dead, how can I be saved?" What would you tell them?
I said, "You already are saved."
Well said. That's right. See, this is totally mixed up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what saving faith is, that he died for me. I believe that.
That's
absolutely
right. They still haven't understood the Reformation discovery that salvation is by faith alone.
I think it is. In all honesty, though, Tom, I think it is difficult for your typical, even many Lutherans, to take a look and say, well, admit that you're a sinner. That's what the publican did in the temple. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Be willing to turn from sin. In other words, you know, that sounds good because we're not just saying, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I want to resolve to amend my sinful life. That sounds sensible, too. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, rose from the dead. Well, we certainly believe that.
Right.
You know, you take those apart. And then through prayer, invite Jesus. Now, that's the one thing. Invite Jesus into your life. He's, like I say, if you're praying, I mean, you cannot pray without him already in your life.
Well, yeah, you can. Buddhists pray. Muslims pray.
But it's not a
what
true
you mean,
prayer.
You can't pray believing that Jesus is your Savior without him being in your life.
Exactly.
And see, that's the third part of this four spiritual laws. Which really bothers me that they call it four spiritual laws, because if there's anything the Bible says, nobody is saved by believing any law or
rules.
Keeping any law. Yes,
right.
Keeping any rule. Well said. So that this is really most contrary to Christianity. If somebody believed these four and you ask them, how can you be sure you're saved, what would their answer be?
Well, because their answer would probably be, well, I've kept the four spiritual laws. I've gone right down, and I could check those off.
Yes,
I've met all those requisites.
Exactly.
In other words, you've turned it into something that we have done.
What have you totally missed? You've totally missed
that it's
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. They never mentioned Jesus. I mean, in
well,
the sense
they believe that Jesus.
No,
Christ
no, no.
Died
but for. I mean, for the assurance.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has nothing to do with their assurance. Their assurance only comes from them following these laws, these rules. Mm-hmm. And this is what this whole program is about, law and gospel. The law has three parts to it. Number one is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he demands perfection, mm-hmm. not only in the future, but in the past and the present. And number three, nobody can do it. So if you lay before somebody four spiritual laws, the first thing God says, well, nobody can do it. I mean, how does a Christian group get that far away from the true faith or the true understanding of salvation? How does that happen? The only thing I can say is if you don't put the blame on the person, then you're going to blame God for sending somebody to hell.
Let me ask you this, Tom. And I'm not defending these. I agree with you. But I'm asking in all honesty, do you think somebody came up with this?
Bill Bright
acting. Okay, Bill Bright, right. Campus Crusade.
Correct.
Do you think, now I know he was misguided on this, but I don't think he did this in a deceitful way. Certainly not a deceitful way. I think.
Okay, then you'd have to say.
I think he had the best of intentions.
Just like Eve did.
Right.
That's right. She had the best of intentions. She wanted to be like God.
Okay.
I don't care about
you don't
intentions.
Cut him, you don't cut him any slack.
Not at all. Okay, he's a false teacher.
Okay, I agree.
Every false teacher always has the best of intentions.
Okay. Right.
In fact,
well, I think that needs to be said.
When's the last time you sinned without the best of intentions? No, pride. Sin, the center of sin is I. The center of pride is I. I always think, every time I sin, that it's better than what God would suggest. Of course, I don't be thinking that time. It usually comes later on when I see what a mistake I made. But sin always is done with the best of intentions. I couldn't care less about somebody's intentions.
I think that needs to be said.
Yes.
I think it needs to be said because I think a lot of people are going to argue with you and say, well, I remember hearing Bill Bright. He's a good guy. He's a good Christian man. He runs campus. He's behind Campus Crusade. How can this be all that bad?
Oh, simple. Peter was a good man. He was an apostle. And he said to Jesus, no, you're not going to be crucified. How could this be? By the way, he had good intentions.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so God doesn't care about your intentions. What he cares about is whether you're faithful to his word.
Right.
And Bill Bright was not. But your other question, I think you're really trying to get to, and then we're going to go to the phone calls, excuse me, is could Bill Bright do this and be a Christian? And my answer is,
I think he could.
Absolutely. It's called Felicius Inconsistency. Explain that.
Well, it's basically it's you know, we are capable of making errors.
Yes.
And we can carry on these errors, and by a inconsistency in our thinking, in our teaching of false doctrine,
right.
We are saved because we believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we may be guilty of error, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't change that.
So I would say, and then we're going to go to the phone call, I would say that if you're a Baptist and believe what it says, and a Roman Catholic and a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, you're going to heaven.
Mm-hmm, right.
If you're a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, or a Muslim, you're going to hell.
That's right.
If you believe what they say.
If they believe what they teach, right.
But why ought you be a Lutheran? Because unlike the other Christian denominations I mentioned, the total comfort of the gospel is only found in Lutheranism. And we could go through each of the denominations. And for example, right here, your comfort has to be that you made a decision. Well, what kind of comfort is that? I had a lady who had done it seven times,
yes.
And the first seven didn't take.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. And I have talked to people that say, you know, that decision theology, it puts the onus all on you.
Exactly.
And you're playing games with your mind. Did I really decide for Christ or did I not? Was I being truthful? It's much better to cling to him and trust in his.
Phone lines, 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Let's talk to Ed. Hi, Ed.
Good afternoon. How you brothers doing?
We're doing good.
Just great.
Good. I have a question about Romans 10, 9 and 10. Could you read that and explain it to me so I could get a better understanding on that?
If you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what's your question?
My question is, there is confession in there, isn't there?
Okay, let me ask you this. Is this a command for unbelievers, or is it a promise for believers?
Well,
Romans
to
10.
Me, it runs into the same line as when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Well, no, you need to answer my question, Ed. Is this a command for unbelievers? Because that's what you're saying.
Well, earlier in the chapters, and especially in chapter 6, where he says that there is none that does any good, no, not one. And I think in Romans 3 it says, I'm just going back to something I was taught years ago. It was like the Roman road.
Okay, and, I remember that. But my question, I'm coming back to it again, is you just said that we can do nothing good. Therefore, you cannot invite Christ into your heart. That's something good.
Well, no, I wasn't talking about inviting Christ into your heart. I was just talking about a confession of faith.
Well, Does a confession of faith come before or after you're saved?
Well, all through the Old Testament and New Testament, it says to repent.
Okay, let me try it again.
Okay,
let me try it again. Does a person's confession of faith come before or after they're totally saved?
It's confusing.
No, it's not. It has to come after. Nobody can make a confession of faith before they believe.
Think of the thief on the cross.
Yeah, the thief on the cross. Very
Lord,
good.
Remember me when you come into your
But kingdom. Before, he right. was railing against That's Jesus. Right. And until he came to faith. You see, this Bible verse, Romans 10:9, is not for unbelievers giving them guidance as to what to do to be saved. It's answering the questions of Christians. How do I know I'm saved? Well, do you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Yes. Do you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Yes. You will be saved. It's assurance.
It's assurance. It's good news.
It's good news. It's not law.
Okay, well, what is the good news, though? I mean, when you say a sinner comes into the church and
yes.
hears the law, and he's convicted of his sin.
Right.
And then he hears the good news.
And what is the good news?
The good news is that Jesus Christ died to forgive us of our sins. And
Amen.
To save us for eternity.
Excellent, Ed. Mm. Now, let's say that person in church now believes it. Is he saved?
Yes.
Okay, so he didn't have to do any invitation into his heart.
Oh, I never said that.
Yeah, oh, okay, I thought you were...
Confession.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry, I misled you. No, I was just talking about the confession part. You know, I heard the brother say earlier, you know, like, what do you do to a person that says, what must I do to be saved? And, you know, you said that you was already saved, but you got to make the confession, don't you?
No. Does a baby make a confession?
Not all the time, no.
No, the babies never make a confession with their mouth.
John the Baptist leaped for joy.
Yeah, that's very good.
Good.
That's excellent. And every baby that's baptized, their heart leaps for joy, but you don't hear a confession. In other words,
what you're saying there, yeah.
This is not the only way to be saved. Namely, confessing with your mouth. If you were
baptized,
what is it? People who are mute, mean.
Oh yeah, or dumb. Can't. Deaf mute.
Is a mute a person who can't talk?
A mute is a person who cannot talk.
Right? Yeah, right. So you'd have to say no mute person will ever be in heaven because they can't confess with their mouth.
Well, Zacharias wrote it down. What is his name? His name will be John, and he wrote it down.
Excellent. Okay, hey, thanks so much for calling, Ed, and we really appreciate the call. Anybody else can call at 505-7850 or...
1-800-730-2727.
I believe this is one of the most misunderstood Bible verses. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you will be saved.
I think you make a good point. He's not laying down
laws.
The guidelines.
No.
For if you do these two or three things,
yes.
you will be saved. He's giving these people assurance that they want to know, like you say, how do I know that I'm saved?
It's kind of like my son coming to me and says, Dad, you know, will I be getting anything from your will? And I look at him and said, are you my son? Yes. Were you born into the family? You will be getting something from the will. Notice I'm telling him that there's nothing he has to do.
Yeah. Of course, but it all depends upon how much you have to give.
Oh, my.
You don't spend it all for
No, him. My one son will get 10%, so that's about $1.50 he'd get right now. Yep. Okay. Yeah, well, this is a good point, though, to understand. Just because you have an if doesn't mean that that's a condition you have to fulfill now. It can be a condition that's already fulfilled, you know.
That's right.
So, like somebody could come up and say, I'd like to come and be an usher in the church. And the pastor look at him and say, are you a member of the church? Yes. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Yes. Then you will be an usher, if that's your desire. And there's nothing he has to do in order to become an usher because, and this is what's so wonderful about the comfort of salvation, all the grounds for salvation are already fulfilled. That's why we're saved by grace. Yes. Who's done it all?
Jesus.
Yes.
It is finished.
Yes, he has done it all. And which leads us to our we're going to the phone lines and talking to Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, but it also talks about the age of understanding. And we all know that if someone is a deaf mute or if they are Down syndrome, God, his grace is sufficient enough to take them over into the kingdom.
What Bible verse?
What Bible verse is that?
Yes.
That's the belief in the blood that he died on the cross for us.
No, I'm just looking for where does that say it in the Bible?
Well, it says that of the age of understanding for children. It does talk about that.
I don't remember that anywhere.
You don't remember that anywhere?
No.
It does say.
We believe that
believeth and is baptized shall be
saved.
We
believe that all babies are born in sin.
That's right.
And apart from Jesus, there is no salvation, even for a baby.
Who believes that?
80% of Christians.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Well, no, you asked who believes it. All Roman Catholics do. All Lutherans do. That's our confession.
So I don't believe that. That's why we would disagree on that. I definitely don't believe that.
Well, we're not disagreeing.
I believe they're born into sin. I agree with that. We're all born into it. But, again, a baby's under the age of understanding. They're not going to go to hell. They're going to go to heaven. If the rapture were to take place today, and if you have a baby, that baby's going to go to heaven.
Show me the Bible verse.
You have a Bible verse that says they will go to hell?
Yep. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Fall short of the glory of God.
Right, it said, in sin did my mother conceive me.
That's right out of Psalm 51. Plus, Jesus says, I am the way, the
truth and the life.
No one comes to the Father but through me.
Right.
So, now, Steve, to back up your position a little bit, I am bound as a pastor to baptism as the only way I know an infant is saved. But God is not bound to that, as he showed with John the Baptizer.
That's right.
Remember, Steve, he saved him while he was still in the womb. So we don't say which babies are going to hell, if any are, or which aren't. We're just saying that as pastors, we have to back up what we teach with the Word of God, and there is no Word of God that says all babies are going to heaven.
Well, then in that case, you would have to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, where it says, all those whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, except at the mark of the beast. So if you say you believe in predestination, and most pastors and preachers do believe in predestination.
Ephesians 1.
You've already been appointed. Your means your life has already been appointed until either salvation in heaven at the end or either condemnation in hell.
No.
It's already been appointed if you believe in predestination.
No.
We don't believe that they're
predestination.
Show me.
We're not predestined to hell.
Yeah, show me the Bible verse.
Chapter 13, Revelation.
No, I'm looking at it right here. It doesn't say anything about a person who's predestined to hell.
No, but it does say those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're predestined to heaven.
Okay, so that would mean everybody else would be what?
No.
No, it doesn't mean.
Doesn't say that.
No, that's not logical.
I didn't say they're predestined for hell, but it would mean everybody else would be what? They'd actually have a choice.
No.
To accept Christ or not.
Well, what do you do with Jesus' verse, you did not choose me, I chose you?
That would be the predestination part, whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That's where that would come in.
But only the predestination people are saved. And none of them chose Jesus.
Only those who are going to heaven, only those who are going to be raptured away at the rapture.
Well,
at the end of the 7 years of trials and tribulation, then comes in those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus.
We need another half hour.
Yeah, we need another half hour here. Steve, you're great. I like you calling. I wish you'll call in more often.
Yeah, call again.
We really need to talk about the rapture, since you won't find a Bible verse for that either.
Listen, I'm not arguing a point. I'm not arguing a point because...
Oh, I hate to hear you if you did.
Well, as long as we believe Jesus Christ died and he rose on the third day and he was born of a virgin birth,
And good for you.
God is through Jesus Christ. We're all in agreement. The other stuff we can disagree about won't even make a difference. Romans add up to a hill of beans. We can talk about that all day long. But we agree on what's important, and that is what's important, and this is all good and great talk.
I thank you very much for calling, and call back more often. I enjoy you. Yes, I like somebody who disagrees with us and sticks to his guns. The only thing I would ask our callers to do is be ready with Bible verses, because that's the first question I'm going to ask you when you say something. Back it up with a Bible verse, because I've said all the time, if Mark or I say something you disagree with and ask us for a Bible verse and we can't find it, then turn the station. We are false teachers. You're a false teacher, Mark.
Oh, God help me. I know I'm a poor, miserable sinner.
But you'll be teaching properly this coming Sunday. Oh, in fact,
yes.
Don't you start Wednesday services?
Next week. Next Wednesday, not this Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because it's Transfiguration coming up.
Right.
The last Sunday of the Epiphany. What time will be your Lenten service?
Lenten's we'll see at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m.
And Sunday, your...
Sunday is at 9 a.m.
And I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking on Insight Wednesday. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.